turn to your neighbor, right, and say, today you are going to experience Abrahamic blessing. Turn to your neighbor on your left and say to the person, all right, you're going to have the Abrahamic blessing. Amen. And if the person on your left ignores you, turn to the right and say, forget about the guy on the other side. I'm going to say, I'm going to have the Abrahamic blessing. Come on. Amen. All of you good? Praise God. I'm excited. I'm excited with this message because the Lord spoke to my heart. The Lord spoke to my heart. And I thought I don't want to keep this blessing to myself. And I thought I better, you know, impart this truth. As much as we are talking about the invasive power, there is so much power of God here in this passage. You know, we are oftentimes told that the moon shines, but it is very much a reflection of the light from the sun. Am I right or not? And it's taking it from there. And there are times I ask, how is it that the moon is full today? And I also discovered that it is a full circle of light in the sky simply because the earth has come between the moon and the sun. When the earth stands between the moon and the sun, and the brightest part of the moon shines onto the earth, and the sun is right on the other side, and you enjoy the blessing from both sides. Somebody say amen. You enjoy the blessing on both sides. And I thought to myself, it is so relevant to this particular topic that I'm going to talk to you today. Entitled Abrahamic Blessing. Amen. Taken from Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to verse 5. Let me read to you this passage as you follow with me from the slide. If you have your Bible, it will be a tremendous blessing. Open your Bible to that page rather than just following me in the slide, because you probably will be much more familiar by reading your own Bible. All right? Taken from this passage, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I repeat that verse. Go from your country, that means get out from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Verse 2. I will make you into a great nation. Everybody loves verse 2 and verse 3. I'm going to read that. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Verse 3. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Somebody say amen to that. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Then verse 4 came. So Abraham went. You see, Abraham is a very obedient guy, not like many of us. He quickly responded and he went, as the Lord had told him. So he did that. But something that I'm not quite very happy about this. The Bible says, and Lot went with him. I thought first verse says, get out from your country, your people, and your father's household. But then the Lord went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrive there. Of course, Abram's name simply means exalted father. Subsequently, his name was changed to Abraham, called the father of multitudes. But I probably skipped the name Abram, but I would just constantly use Abraham, even though it was not changed at that time. But you know whom I'm referring to. Am I right? And here, Abraham's faith, unprecedented, and is remarkable. It's such a powerful faith. He became famous because of his faith, but not like Kardashian's kind of fame, right? It's very famous, better than Kardashian's. People begin to recognize who he is. But right at the onset of the call of God, Abraham was called to be a blessing. He was called to be a blessing. I want you to take note of that. He was called to be a blessing. You see, you can never be a blessing to somebody until God bless you. Somebody say amen. Oh, you are not getting there yet. Only three people in front. You can never bless others until God blesses you. Somebody say? You see, you can never help somebody set free until you are set free. Somebody say? Amen. At the same time, when you look at the scripture, the Lord says very clearly that you can never bring about revival around you, whoever associates with you, if you do not have a revival inside you. Are you there? So Abraham was told and given the vision that the Lord spoke the word that he will be blessed so that he can be a blessing. Some of you struggle with that because how can I be a blessing to my family if I'm not blessed? Children, how can I be a blessing to my mom and dad if I'm not blessed? Employees, how can you be a blessing to the company if you are not blessed? So it is vital for us to receive God's blessing in order for us to be a blessing. So today we are learning about Abrahamic blessing. And when the word was spoken to Abraham, you look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. He says, so Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Are you with me? Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. Now, do you know sometimes you just don't want somebody to be with you? But the Lord went with him. And the Bible says Abraham took him. It's not that Lord was forced to, but that was a bit funny. I was pondering over this issue, Lord went with him. Why Lord? When Abraham was told to leave the father's household. You know, I do not know about you. Every time when I get into the shopping mall at a peak hour, I would drive. You know what I'll be looking for? I'll be looking for a car park. Am I right? And every time when you can't find a car park, what do? You wait for somebody walking towards the car, right? And what do? Then you stalk the person. You drive slowly. My wife will say, "Hey, there's one old lady going." You just follow slowly, like the old movies, stalking the person at the car park. And then the moment you see this old lady get into the car, or rather, she turned the remote control, and she opens up the door, and you are ready. You just wait there for her to come out. She went there, she picked something up, and then she closed the door. And then she turned around and said, bye-bye. Bye-bye. It's so mad, isn't it? You are stalking her for all this while, and all of a sudden, she didn't even bring out a car. You see, sometimes we want to stalk somebody because we want that parking lot. Am I right or not? Of course, some of us get that. Some of us get angry, we go, hurry up, why are you so slow? You know, some people, when they get into the car, and they know people are waiting for them, and they take their own sweet time. How many of you get mad? I'm the only one, two of us? The rest of you are okay? Wow, you guys are saints. We are insane. Oh, serious. I'm talking to the wrong crowd. And Lot, the nephew of Abraham, was riding on Abraham's calling. He was riding on Abraham's coattails. He was just riding on whatever the blessing and the vision that God has spoken to Abraham. He came along and ride. God did not give Lot the vision. He gave Abraham the vision. Sometimes we do have people try to ride along on someone else's anointing. You don't ride on someone else's anointing. You can admire the person, but you don't have to ride on someone else's anointing. There are ministers who ride on someone else's coattails. And we can literally see sometimes they try to achieve or gain some anointing by imitating them. Many years ago, we have some young junior ministers that graduated, and the moment they came and preached to my youth many years ago, and I was sitting down there listening to them, wow, I said, these guys sound like so and so. And that's fine. You can sound like that person. It doesn't matter. But if you do not do your research and study and work hard at that message, and you just imitate it and you follow through, and you're riding on that anointing, you thought you could get the anointing, you probably won't. You probably won't. And so I thought to myself, perhaps the Lord was trying to ride on Abraham's calling. And many of us did not realize that the call of God compels all of us to walk in the different faith dynamics. Simply means this. When you receive a call from God, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you approach life, the way you associate with people will be changed. There is no such thing that when you receive the call of God, you are automatically changed. You will be diligently aware and conscientiously aware that there are some things in life needs to be changed. When you're called into a marriage, life needs to be changed. When you are employed into the company, there are certain behavior needs to be changed. What more, when we are called into the kingdom of God, the certain things of our lives, the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we live our life, the mannerism of our living must be changed. So, the call of God will always change the way we live. If you look at Paul, Apostle Paul, he received the call of God at Damascus Road. And when he received the call at Damascus Road, the Bible tells me that he was blinded by the light, and God sent this prophet Nathan to speak to him. Nathan spoke to this man, and he was frightened, and somehow Paul received the insight from God. And suddenly I realized that looking at Paul's life, the moment he receives the call, the Bible shows me that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. His name was changed to Paul instead of Saul. His eyes were opened both physically and spiritually, and he started to regain spiritual insight. Though he was intellectual as a Pharisee, but now he began to regain the dynamics of the heavenly insight. And then the Bible says he went off and went out preaching the word of God. When you receive the call of God, you can never be the same man. You can never be the same man. There is a need for faithful and active obedience. So, what has that got to do with Abraham? You see, Abraham received the call. His life was beginning to change. His call involves people and not just for ourselves. Every aspect of his faith affects the next generation. Are you there with me? Every aspect of the faith of Abraham is affecting from one generation to another generation. Which means to say, brothers and sisters, our call today is going to affect somebody. Somebody say amen. Our call today is going to affect people's lives. It's not about your life. The call that you receive is not about your life. The call that you receive is going to affect a next generation. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your children's children. And so the call of God should never be taken lightly and taken for granted. So you may be holding that little child of yours and they say, oh, he's so cute. Even the child is naughty. Oh, look at that cute little one. And he's so such a rascal. And you keep on saying, it's so cute. It's so cute. It's so cute. And he's getting naughtier and naughtier. He's so cute. Look at the naughtiness. He's so cute. Oh, my goodness. He's so chubby. Oh, I love that. And yet, he's so rascal. And you forgot that this child is going to receive your faith. He's going to learn from your faith. Because our call of God is going to affect the next generation. I'm hearing a pin drop right now. Somebody said, that's a good one for me. But listen, we have to look at the quality of Abraham's obedience to the call. You know what he did? In the midst of this polytheistic society, the society was worshiping many other gods. And Abraham receives the call while he was living in that sort of society. And he was called to leave immediately. So you notice one thing. Abraham went. So Abraham's obedience is so strong that he left the polytheistic society. You know what it means? It simply means to tell me that I must learn to be different from the world. Somebody say amen. When I receive the call, my obedience is to be different from the world. I cannot continue to live like what the world is, but I must live away from the world. When you receive the call, you cannot be the same as the world. We have to be different. And look at Abraham's obedience. He also left from his familiar ground. He was having his family, his brothers, his sister-in-law, his nephew, his nieces, his father, Terah. And so they were all living in a very familiar surrounding. But then the Bible shows me the moment Abraham obeyed the vision, obeyed the word, he left his familiar ground and going to an unfamiliar, uncharted, unknown place. Many of us, our obedience is based on calculated situation, not based on something that we may not know, but we only know one thing. He holds my tomorrow. Amen. God holds my tomorrow. You know what real faith is? Real faith does not stay with always. Real faith doesn't stay with always. Abraham left his familiar ground. We need to be like Israel. They left Egypt. They were there for hundreds of years. They left Egypt, the familiar ground. Israel left wilderness. They were there for 40 years. For 40 years. You know what? It tells me that it's when you and I need to obey the Lord and you have the faith to obey, we must leave our familiar habits, our familiar thoughts that are not worthy before God. We must leave that. If you want to see Abrahamic blessing, these are some of the things you must cultivate and say, I must leave my Egypt. I must leave my wilderness. I must leave my old habits. I must leave my dirty thoughts. Because real faith doesn't stay with old ways. Real faith should not get easily distracted by the little earthly gods that blinds us. And as we begin to see Abraham exercising his obedience, we discover his amazing faith. Because the Bible says, for by faith, Abraham obeyed. For by faith, Abraham obeyed. You know, Abraham doesn't know where he was going. He, in fact, doesn't even know who this true God that just revealed the vision to him. Because he's so used to the polytheistic society. He doesn't know. But the Bible says, for by faith, Abraham obeyed. Listen to this. Look at the next slide. The obedience of faith springs from a principle within and not from a compulsion without. Obedience of our faith is stimulated and is stirred from the principle of our conviction that we believe in, rather than being forced or under compulsion that comes from the external. You are not forced to come to this church, but you have experienced the reality of God's power. Somebody say amen. And you come because you are excited and you're stirred within your faith. I want to have that marvelous, powerful God that has been doing amazing work in my life. And if it's not happening and you come because you're under compulsion, I can tell you honestly, the next 5 years you will not be around. No one will live under compulsion. People will live for the glory of God, and they just want to have the touch of the heavens so they can live on earth. Obedience of our faith must be stirred from the principle within, but not under compulsion from the external. So Abraham was a man who does not know where he was going. But he has a conviction and belief that, yep, I know this true God, this God that is different from all other gods that I have been, I've seen it. Then this God that showed me the vision, I believe he's going to lead me somewhere. Somebody say amen. I believe he will. So this was Abraham's attitude. So when I thought about it, do you know that God is like GPS? How many of you know what I'm talking about? GPS. Some people call God's positioning system, but I call it God's prompting system. You know, in GPS, there are only two locations. Am I right? There are only two locations. One is what? Your current location, and the other one is your destination. Am I right or not? So what do you do when you follow the GPS, okay? This is what you do, isn't it? You follow as you drive. You have stated that destination. And as you begin to drive, and all of a sudden, he will tell you, when you get over to the roundabout, take the second lane. And then after that, you go over. Then he says, turn to the left. And then when you start turning to the left, and you say, another 100 meters, you will turn to the right. And then you go. And then you miss the right turn. And you pass by the right turn. Oops, oops. And then the GPS says, no worries. No, they don't say that. They will recalculate for you, am I right or not? And when they recalculate for you, then they will show you another direction to get back to your destination. Am I right or not? You know, I believe God's grace is sufficient for all of us. I believe that in His grace, He will not show you everything. Amen? Isn't it true? GPS don't show you everything. They will instruct you according to the road that you are about to turn. The same thing with God. He's not going to show, yes, I know the destination. I know what I'm going to have. I know the glories of God. But the Lord is directing me every day. Turn left and then turn right. Get on the roundabout. You meet Nathan. Move away from him and get. You get on to the roundabout. You turn to the first turning, and the direction keep coming, but it doesn't give you all the things, isn't it? The information are not given to you completely, but it was directed to you. The directive was there for you. So God is speaking. God is speaking to you every day to turn to the left and the right so that you get to the destination that God has stated for you. And so I begin to see that God is constantly speaking. God is speaking every day. Somebody say amen. Every day He's speaking to you. He's getting you to the direction. And the problem is sometimes we don't hear them. And then we messed up. We missed the turn. And He said, oh no, I'm going to have another U-turn somewhere. And the Lord will direct you again. You can mess up whatever you want. But as long as the GPS is still on, somebody say, come on, amen to that. If the GPS is still on, you are going to hear the next direction. Somebody say amen. Because God speaks. Am I right or not? God speaks. You know when is the worst messed up, terrible time? It's when you turn off your GPS. Isn't it true? When you turn off your GPS, or you tell Ezra, shut up. Don't tell me where to turn. I know what to do. And this is a disaster to your life. You just shut off God's voice. You see, God is a gracious God. He directs us. And He wants to speak to you every day. Then this is where I begin to realize in Abrahamic blessing. I have a question. Why is Lot in the journey with Abraham? Why is Lot? Abraham, you were told to leave your country. You were told to leave the people. You were told to leave your father's household. Why bring Lot with you? Maybe Lot is a spoiled brat. Isn't it? Yep, maybe. Maybe he's a spoiled brat. Or, maybe Abraham did not fully obey the Lord. Maybe he did not fully obey the Lord. So the question is, did Abraham fully obey God? You see, friends, partial obedience is not an obedience. Are you there? Somebody tell their neighbor, oh, he's speaking about me right now. Partial obedience is not obedience. Oh, somebody, come on. Tell me that is sensible, amen? Partial obedience is not an obedience. It's still a disobedience. And there is danger that is insidiously in operation right now. It's very dangerous. It's coming in. You see, we may fall into God's consequences if you treat God's imperatives as God's casual little story. And when God gave you a command, you took it lightly. When the Lord said, let it go, let it go. You start singing the song, let it go, let it go. You took it very lightly. The Lord said, let it go. Yeah, Pastor, how to let go? You want me to sing the song? Let it go. We take God's word very lightly. Take God's imperatives. You will face consequences if you treat God's imperatives for some light jokes. When the Lord says, love your wife, you told the Lord, God, you have not met my wife. But it was God's imperatives. And we took it for a joke. Sometimes we face consequences from God by wrapping up God's imperatives and place it under the guise of human options. We begin to think that God's imperatives is an option. So we begin to dilute God's command as human options. Such as when we say, come on guys, come and pray. Come and pray with us. Ayo, Pastor, you don't understand. I want to wake my children up. It's so hard. If you have a problem with waking up your children, call me. I help you. Oh, Pastor, I'm busy. So we dilute God's command by using human options. We have an excuse for that. So be very careful. Partial obedience is still a disobedience. Such obedience is a travesty of faith. It's a distorted aspect of faith. So we need to understand something, because I want to resolve the question about Lot's presence in Abraham's journey. There is this great possibility that Abraham did not fully obey the Lord. And there were consequences. How many of you know that partial obedience always leads to some disruptions? Do you know what I'm talking about? Let me show you from the scripture. Let's continue with the passage. Genesis 13. Genesis 13 says, so Abraham, listen to this, Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and what? Lord went with him. Somebody tell me, come on. Lord went with him. Is that a crazy thing? Abraham had become what? Very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. Whoa, that is Abrahamic blessing, somebody said. Amen. I want that. I want to get that. I want to ride on that blessing. And so Lot did that. Lot was enjoying the blessing. Isn't it good? Everybody wants to be like Lot, isn't it? Smart kid, spoiled brat. I want to enjoy my father's wealth. I want to enjoy my uncle's wealth. I just want to tap along, you know, whatever my father goes and he goes shopping, I can tap along and so that he can pay for me. Isn't it? Right or not? So it happens, isn't it true? And let's look at the next part of the passage. Genesis 13, verse 5 and 7. And this is what happened. Ah, now, Lord. Oh, that name just came out again. Hey. Now, Lord was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. Look at that. He's enjoying the blessing. He also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. How many of you know when you stay in one house and the blessings just keep growing, you know, and you have four or five couches, you have four or five beds, you have four or five dining tables, and you just can't fit that house anymore. You know what I mean? It's just too much. And listen to verse 7. What happens to verse 7? Ooh. Everybody say, ooh. And quarreling arose between Abraham's herders and Lord. Oh, man, all his herdsmen, his servants, the maidservants start quarreling. Hey, my boss, Lord, says, you guys better get out of this place. This is ours. And then Abraham's herdsmen say, no, no, no. My boss is the one who first came. He's the uncle. He's older. Yours is younger. So quarreling started. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. I often wonder why this verse was written there. It's like they were watching. If they fight, man, we're going to take back all their goods. We're going to rob them. And they don't even know the Perizzites, the Canaanites, all are watching. You know something, church? The believers are supposed to love one another and care. And when they fight, those people outside in the world watching. Look at the church. Look at the church. Look at them. They worship the Lord. They lift up their hands. They sing. They jump. Wow. But look at their attitude. Wow. They are fighting. They are quarreling. Look at the house. They are supposed to be a Christian house. Did you see that? Jesus is Lord on the top of the doorpost. Did you see at the frame there, there's a big cross? Whoa, they are Christian. But you know what? I heard that night, they were screaming, they were shouting, they were, ooh, somebody say, ouch. Ouch. The Canaanites and the Perizzites are watching and listening. And then let's go on to verse 8. So Abraham said to Lord, okay, Lord, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. All right? So Naruan, let's not fight, because now I'm your relative. Somebody say amen. If you ask for fight, you get a lot of things from me. Zach, you're related to me. Look into my eyes and know that I am your uncle right now. It's not the whole land before you, Abraham said. He said, let's part company. Let's get out. And then he said this, if you go to the left, I go to the right. If you go to the right, I go to the left. Let's part ways. Let's not fight anymore. Let's not fight. Am I getting some message here? Let's not fight. We are relatives. Man, I got so many relatives in the room I don't even know. And I want to share this message. Let's not fight. Let's follow the will of God. Let's not fight. Amen. Amen. Chris, don't laugh. Huh? You are also part of it. Eh? Evidently, Lord was enjoying Abrahamic blessing. Am I right or not? Everybody wants to be Lord now. Right on Abraham's calling. Right on his blessing. And Did you see something in the passage that they had a quarreling? And Abraham said, let's part ways. No, let's get out of these differences. Lord did not even express an act of appreciation. Am I right or not? He was riding on the vision of Abraham. Come on. And he even said, thank you, uncle. No. He didn't even apologize for the quarreling. No. He just went on and said, okay, cool. Let's chill, all right? I take the left, you take the right, whichever ways. And so I get a little bit vexed by this story to know that Lord was enjoying the blessings of his uncle. And yet he doesn't show any appreciation. So church, partial obedience will lead to some disruptions. So Abraham suggested to part ways. But what I'm very annoyed was this. Despite the painful drama, the quarreling among relatives, Abraham, who receives the vision from God, let Lot choose the direction first. I'm sure all of us won't do that, right? Kick him right now. You better get out. No, you are not going to select any direction. I am the boss. I am Abraham, your uncle. You are my nephew. So listen and get out. You probably might do that, isn't it, Drew? I wonder, why did he let Lord choose first? Some people say he's a gentleman. Some Sunday school teachers will tell the children, Abraham is an honest, gentle person, gentleman. But I saw Abraham, who is very secured with his call. He is very secured with his vision. And so he said, Lord, you decide. He knows his vision. He knows his call. God already said, I'm going to be a blessing. Somebody say, amen. I'm going to be a blessing, and I'm going to be a blessing to others. I know who I am in Christ. Hallelujah. So Lord, choose whatever direction you want. So may I remind you, Abraham was called by God, not Lot. So, this is the time to make some correction, okay? And I need to resolve this question. And I thought to myself, what is the real issue right now? So, in view of that, I need to go back to the family tree. Uncle Ken will love the family trees. He loves to read about the genealogy, the family trees. And I'm going to demonstrate to you. Is it okay with you guys? And I'm going to call three gentlemen to stand in front of me. There is Terah. Pretend that I'm Terah, the father, and produce three sons, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Raj, are you with me? Come, Raj. You be the Abraham. Just pretend that Abraham is very tall. I say, pretend that he's a Abraham. He walk also like Abraham now. Oh. Abraham, hallelujah. Give him applause, come on, yeah. His sportsmanship, amen, amen. Nathan, come. Yes, you'll be Haran. I need that because they took Luke too alike, isn't it? Same race. Okay. Nahor, Aza, come here, Aza. Come here, Aza. Come on, I need Nahor. Oh, this. You understand why I put you as Nahor. So, yeah. Now, Terah has three sons, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Everybody say that. Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Okay. So, Terah raise up these three kids, and they have grown up to be adults. And so, Abraham got married. Long suffering. Don't worry. I won't call you Sarai. But Abraham got married to Sarai. Amen? Got married to Sarai, or her name gradually changed to Sarah. Okay, so imagine Sarai is here with Abraham. And Nahor married to Haran. Oh, before I get to Nahor, Nahor is a problem. So Haran has three children. He has Lot's only son and two daughters, Milcah and Iscah. Okay? So what happened was, Haran's daughter, Milcah, married to the uncle Nahor. Stand here.
Unbelievable.
Married to Nahor. And together with Milcah, they had 8 children.
Wow.
Woo! So now you know this guy is called Nahor Azahel. Eight children, all right? And of course, later part in the book of Genesis in chapter 22, he had concubines too. So,
wow.
So I'm not going to talk about... Okay, get rid of him first. Now, with all his 8 children, his wife, his concubines, his porcupines and all that. Haran, unfortunately, died at a very young age. But he has only one son. What's his name? Lot. So now, I'm going to ask somebody. Lord, come here. You are the Lot. You are the Lot. Okay? You are the Lot. So, Lot happens to be Abraham's nephew. So, Haran died. Now you have Lot here. Abraham and Sarah did not have children. Because Haran died at a very young age, Lot's father died at a very, very young age. Lot was without a father. He needed a father. He was hungry for father figure. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because he was hungry for father figure, Abraham is hungry for his son. Zachary, take note of that. He's hungry for... too late. Game over. He has got 3 daughters, so he's hungry for a son. Aswaria is like, oh no. So he was hungry for a son. What does he do? He needed a son to inherit God's promises that has been given unto him. Do you know what I'm talking about? He needed a son to inherit. Therefore, the only way is to get Lot to come along. Isn't it? So Lot has to journey with his uncle. Because should there be any issue that Abraham could not have any child, or a son for that matter, then the only one that can inherit possibly will be his brother's son. How do I know that? The scripture did not clearly state that. But later part of Genesis where Abraham thought that he could get his servant to inherit, yeah, but there was a cry for someone within the family to inherit instead of the servant. Of course, Sarah decided to say, you know, maybe Hagar should be the one to help you a bit here and there. But no, later on, you discover that was the heartbeat of Abraham. He needed a son. And so Lot conveniently came along. Amen? Please, let's give them applause. Thank you very much. Now, what happened is, the enemy wants you to have a legitimate desire, but in the wrong way. Are you getting there? There is a legitimate desire, legitimate hunger. I need a son to inherit. I need a son. So the only way is to bring my brother's son, the only son that Haran has. Yeah? So he brought him along. But the legitimate desire of Abraham's heart was approached in the wrong way. Brothers and sisters, there are people today in our society have a legitimate desire for love, and they look for a one-night stand. They look for the wrong way. The society today have legitimate desire to find God's blessing. And what do? They took the short road by cheating, gambling, and by borrowing until to the point it remains empty. Some of us would like to become Robin Hood in order to have the blessings of God. We can't fulfill God's plan in our own way. Somebody say amen. You have to fulfill God's plan according to God's ways. That's God's kingdom. You can't do anything by your own way and think that this is the way God wants it. No. Legitimate desire for a son, but not in the wrong way. Lord was never called to be the one to inherit. It was supposed to be Abraham's offspring. Somebody say amen. And so I'm going to show you the passage right now. The next passage in the same chapter 13, in verse 14 to 18. Now, listen to this. After the Lord left, the Lord said to Abraham, after the Lord had departed from him, and this is what he says. Hey, Abraham, look around you. Look around you where you are, the north, the south, the east, and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. And then verse 17 says, go, walk. Walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. And you know what? Again, verse 18, just like the earlier verse. So Abram went. You saw something there? Abraham's faith comprises of obedience was very quick to respond to God. So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tent. There he built an altar to the Lord. And this is so powerful, because whenever he knows this is the place where God wants to provide, he built an altar. It's to signify, this is the encounter that God has given to me, the surety of his vision for me. And what he say, yea, it will be yea. And so he built an altar and said, this is the place. I will be here. God's blessing is here. You see, friend, to receive God's blessing is to become a blessing to others. If you and I are not ready to be a blessing to others, don't expect a blessing. The verdict after Lot left, the verdict of God still stands. The problem is, Lord does not know how to reciprocate the Abrahamic blessing. He doesn't know how to respond to the Abrahamic blessing. God's promises will always turn out to be the best despite any current disturbances. God's promises will always remain the best. In verse 17, Abraham was told, go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So the question today, how do you and I reciprocate or respond quickly on Abraham's blessing? And I want to show you in the book of Galatians in chapter 3 and from verse 1 to 9, but the emphasis will be just right in verse 7 to 9. And this is what the emphasis of verse 7, it says this. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Listen one more time. Those who have faith are children of Abraham. And then he goes on to verse 9. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So you see, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand the only way to reciprocate or respond quickly to Abrahamic blessing is by Abraham's faith. What kind of faith does Abraham show us? It is the faith that says that I'm willing to leave this place and become different to the world. This is the kind of faith. Is it the kind of faith that is strong enough to tell you that you have to leave your old habits? You have to leave your old Egypt? You have to leave your old wilderness? It's time for you to have the faith to leave the old past and say the old has gone, the new has arrived. Is that the kind of faith that you have right now that is strong enough to say, I'm going to move according to God's words? And when the word of the Lord says, go to this place, I will go. Go to that place, I will go. Do this unto the glory of God. I will do it unto the glory of God. I will not question God. I will fulfill the word that God has given to me. Is your faith strong enough to see God's word become a reality? Is your faith strong enough to believe that you need to make all the necessary correction and changes in your life? If somebody said that is the word for me, somebody give him all the glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. If you want to take this Abrahamic blessing, do you have the faith strong enough to walk like Abraham? Amen. To walk like Abraham. When you hear God says, you won't turn around and say, God, you sure you trust me? You think I can, you know, you think I'm the one? You just say, Lord, as long as you say so, I will go. I will do it. I'm going to respond to Abrahamic blessing because the Bible says, I can never be a blessing to people until I receive his blessing. Somebody say amen. And through this blessing that God put in your heart, there are many people that will begin to enjoy that blessing through you. Are you with me? The question in all finality, do you have the faith of Abraham? Therefore, with that faith, you are ready to enjoy the Abrahamic blessing. Somebody saying?
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.